The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Thank you for the very loving welcome. It's appreciated, it's received. We all need one another and we all love one another because our God is good. We are defenders of that core truth. In a generation where there's all kinds of wrong pictures being painted by God out there, we declare tonight with absolutely no reservation and with total confidence that our God is good. We're living in a time of reformation, and the theme for this weekend is a time for reformation. So we have been mulling that over. We have been pondering that, a time for reformation. We can only say that with great confidence because the Lord has ordered this time of reformation. It's not our idea. It's not even something that could be defined as a phase of kingdom life in a generation. It's something far greater, something far more meaningful, because this reformation is designed by Almighty God to run all the way through to the return of Christ Jesus. That's why we can indeed be thrilled in our spirit and to anticipate profound changes in our lives. If you're living in a season of profound change and the pruning knife of God is cutting out of your life that which you love and that which is important to you, be of good cheer. Be encouraged, because the best is yet to be. Last night we looked at the reality of the world in their day, according to Isaiah 60, verses 2 and 3, about this present darkness that covers the earth, and how people are cloaked in this darkness. But we also discovered from the same portion of Scripture that we are children of light, that the light shines on our lives, and we are called to be not only carriers of light, but glory carriers. We discovered our inner man as being renewed day by day. It doesn't matter how dark the world is getting around us. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. And God is working in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We proclaim a living God, not a dead religion. We live and stand upon the reality of revelatory truth, and not by trying to adhere to religious rules and regulations. Last night, we uncovered the reality of being a people that are accessing the mind and wisdom of God, a people called to have enhanced prophetic insight, a people called to grow prophetically in the organic sense of the word, because the old gift-based days of prophetic delivery systems to the local church is coming to an end. For the church is designed to grow prophetically on a corporate basis and be the voice of God to the nations of the earth. I believe in our generation and in our lifetime, the prophetic church will speak and nations will tremble. In simple terms, our credibility is on the line. If God is not backing us, our credibility is absolutely punk. But when it's seen by the world around us Not only is the Lord walking with you and I, but he's backing you and I. Well, that light draws. First, making lots of people angry, and then drawing lots of people to Christ Jesus as a consequence. The gospel often maddens before it gladdens. And I think some of you know what I'm talking about. Let me see your hands in the air if you didn't go down without a fight when God started speaking to you. Yeah, there's a few of you cheeky things out there. I was very grateful to be saved, but on my terms. I just wanted Jesus to be my higher power and establish a happiness package in my life. He had no identity crisis. I was the one with identity crisis, and he brought me to a place of absolutely insisting on being Lord of my life. I wasn't the happy bunny when he issued that indictment. I wrestled, I struggled, then I finally gave in because I never had the strength to battle with the Lord anymore. So, we're living in the reality of reformation. Last night, we looked more at big picture perspectives regarding the 21st century prophetic church. And I was impacted by how you listened intently. I'm only really learning about this message I'm beginning to carry. In some ways, I'm preaching to myself tonight, feeling my way into this message, coming to grips with this message. But there was an incredible sense in my spirit that you are ready to be a 21st century prophetic church. So different from the 20th century prophetic church, because our mandate for this century is entirely different from the emerging prophetic church's mandate of the late 20th century. So we're going to be looking briefly at core definers. We're going to look at defining prophetic reformation at the core. It's not just for the purpose of information. It's who we are going to be. It's who we are presently. But I suspect, like me, further reformation is required at your end. The word core carries with it a very powerful image. If you look at the earth's core, then your mind will immediately conjure up and paint a very powerful image of the core of the earth. It's a very warm place. The core of the earth is incredibly hot. Yet, the core of the earth is central to the physical formation of the earth. And the core of the earth means that everything else upon the earth lies above the core. The core lies beneath so much activity of what's taking place on the planet. And the core of the earth is totally hidden. There's no drone that can fly down to the core of the earth and beam back images. The best case scenario is to identify scientific analysis and imagine what the core of the earth looks like. But you and I, as a people, have a core. We have a core. That which is hidden from the physical eye. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 in the King James Version calls that the hidden man of the heart. I checked in with the New American Standard Bible tonight, and that is defined as the hidden person of the heart. At core, That's who we are, spirit. At core, that determines everything else that's going on in our souls, that's going on in our physical bodies, even in our circumstances tonight. But as we look down the prophetic lens, the core, and please listen to this, the core of our being is the essence of all correct prophetic activity. It's there. We're either on or off. It's tempting to think of the prophetic as a gift that comes out of the ether in the Holy Spirit, ministers to us, and we begin to prophesy. An element of that would be true, especially when we concentrate upon the spirit of prophecy. That can come on an individual once in the life and never again. But I'm talking to a prophetic church tonight. I'm talking to the core of this prophetic church tonight. A prophetic church going through cycles of reformation. Core definers establish who we are as a reforming prophetic church. Core definers determine the quality of prophetic activity taking place in our midst. That's worth pondering for a few moments. It's there we see the blend of the natural and the supernatural flowing well together. It takes the supernatural function of the prophetic, which it is, into the terrain of natural explanation. For in many ways, as we walk in our prophetic giftedness, we are the gift. We are the gift. This is especially true of the office of prophet. It doesn't mean there's anything special about the person, but in the design of God, God makes a man or woman the gift to the church. So in Reformation, as a prophetic people, a comprehension of our core definers is absolutely vital to reform accurately. See, it's all about reforming at a corporate level. It's about reforming together. Many of you know my prophetic flavors because I've been coming here for so long. You know the areas I prophesy in and the areas God has added to my life over the years. That's all good, well, and proper. But in the economy of righteousness, in the economy of the true prophetic, I believe God has done a work of defining at my core the anointing that I carry up to this moment in time. However, core definers are going through a process of reformation for greater divine purpose. Our definers need to be prophetic activity anchored in the correct principles. That's worth repeating again. The correct prophetic, the prophetic activity anchored in the correct principles. Looking at it from another angle, we can have prophetic activity in our lives, but anchored in the wrong principles. Then it all goes skee-whiff. And that's why there's so many prophetic accidents. That's why people have got into trouble in the past, moving in a true prophetic anointing, but the prophetic anointing being anchored in correct, incorrect principles. So, we're going to pause and proceed slowly as we move into a technical language, which is so easy to understand. It's so easy even a Scotsman can get it. The prophetic reformation is all about that correct core in our being. It's vital we know what the righteous core of our prophetic being should look like. And in simple terms, our prophetic core is determined by the Holy Spirit to operate in correct value systems, righteous value systems, which of course includes our biblical understanding and our theology, as well as knowing the hallmarks of the anointing. Blend all three together in your value system, and you're a blessing going somewhere to happen. I have observed over the years where Christians have a very weak understanding of the Word of God and start to prophesy, it sounds a little bit like New Age. It lacks being undergirded by the spirit of the Scriptures. It lacks the flavor and tone of scriptural input in the prophetic flow. Is that a false prophecy? Probably not. Generally speaking, the word will be accurate, but it's not. It's not coming from a core that's established in the correct value system. Secondly, a core definer, includes ministering out of proper motives. That's why as a prophetic people, we go through cycles of being humbled by God. Here's the good news and the bad news all rolled into one. Here, we'll start with the bad news. Even though it's good news, when God humbles us, he always humbles us more than we plan for. Keep smiling. It gets better. But the outcome of that's incredible, because the motives for kingdom function, as well as being accurately defined and truly defined in our core as a prophetic people, not only reaps huge dividends, but gives us longevity. The third aspect of our core definers is an accurate worldview. And this is massive, because our worldview has probably changed substantially in the last decade. I generally believe that God only moved in kingdom terms amongst the church, and that in some ways the world system was left to its own devices. Now my worldview has way extended the performance of the Great Commission into not only the heartland of the church, but the intricacies of the world system amongst every nation, tribe, and tongue. God is for the people of the world. He's against the lies that keep people in slavery in the world system. And he's against the sin structures that keep people in the world system in slavery to sin. So our worldview will be something the Holy Spirit continues to teach us into. The best worldview we can have is God's worldview. This will require an uprooting of our old ideas and a serious planting of God ideas. This will require a new flexibility at our end, and dare I say it, even moving away from that carnal and soulish Pharisaical spirit that is always trying to make inroads into all of our lives. The nature of core definers means that living in the correct core definers stimulates growth in your life and my life. Growth is what it's all about. Growth that goes way beyond the function of our prophetic capacity and function of our prophetic gifting. So when we look at growth, again, it's worth pausing for a couple of minutes to get the true flavor of what this growth looks like in practical terms. Let me emphasize, this is a work of God. It's not self-development. It's not about you and I taking the principles of this message legalistically and running with them. True growth is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It takes us into personal development. We do develop personally, but it's not self-development. It's Christ formation within us. It usually takes place in the hidden places of our life. It's going on in the core while very little is changing in a day-by-day routine. But personal development under the unction of the Holy Spirit and the reality of the Word of God has a dramatic impact on who we are. For personal development then takes us to a place of revelational advance. If you're crying out for deeper revelation in this season and it's not forthcoming, back up a space and say, Lord, I understand you're working in the depths of the hidden man of my heart right now to develop me. Keep doing what you're doing, Lord, and let me know what I need to do to cooperate with this process. But when there is a revelational advance, it's not an academic exercise. Listen closely. With every revelational advance, there is a geographical spread. The word of the Lord is designed to travel. Our hearts, our spirits, are the places where the Lord births revelation, and then after that, it's designed to advance across the state, across the nation, across the nations of the earth. God's dealings in my own life has never ceased to amaze me, because at the beginning of my prophetic calling, I thought I was pushing the envelope before God by asking him to open up churches in Scotland and a few in England. I thought I was really stretching it, asking God for that. Within 3 years of praying that prayer, God had given me a worldwide ministry. Why did he do that? I can answer the question simply and clearly. He did that not because of me, but because he chose to birth something in me of a revelatory nature that would have massive geographical spread. And so it applies to all of our lives. But with that, there's a challenge, because subconsciously, I suspect we're all drifting into a gift-driven mentality. So there's a revelatory advance, a geographical spread. I'm running in my gift. I'm running in my anointing. But it means something deeper than that. The challenge of personal development, the challenge of revelatory advance and geographical spread is to grow beyond our God-given gift. That's worth pondering. It's so good to be a prophetic generation. I know many of you have prophesied more times than you care to remember. And praise God for every prophetic utterance that's fallen from your lips. But personal development, revelatory advance, and geographical spread needs to take us to a place of growth beyond our gifts. Because if growth is restricted to our gifts, then what will happen is we will be on an upward swing for a season. We'll plateau and stagnate, and then we'll die. Have you ever known churches when they're birthed have a massive upward swing for a few years, stagnate and plateau, and then crash and burn and die? I can tell you why that happened. The emphasis of the church was gifts. A gift-driven church looking for fruit in ministry as the only reason for its existence. A ministry-driven church, not a relationally driven church. Not a place where people could form community, but a kingdom factory of great anointing and output. But because it was based on gifts and not relationship, it stagnated and finally died. Listen closely to this next statement, prophetic church and reformation. Listen closely to this statement, because Almighty God is building in your heart and my heart a sustainable prophetic model. A prophetic model that means, in its very essence, we will merely journey with God and increase in strength. Up till now, you've heard nothing of higher level of prophetic words, more profound fruit coming from the prophetic church. It's all about you and I being conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. Journeying with God, yes, increasing in strength, and as a byproduct, increasing in prophetic capacity. When we get to think along these lines, suddenly the familiar verse from Romans 8:14 takes on a fresh meaning. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons or daughters of God. A people being led, a prophetic people journeying with God, a prophetic people increasing in strength, as the default position of the prophetic church is highlighted in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Familiar Bible verses, but with an entirely new meaning as we journey with God, being led by the Holy Spirit, experiencing the strength of his might. We've considered the concept of core definers, and I know I'm preaching tonight to a hungry people, a people that are willing to go the way of prophetic reformation. So very quickly, let's look at the six core definers that will function at the heart of a reformed prophetic church. I'm thinking more in organic terms than gift-driven terms, but of course, the need for prophetic gifts will continue, but the outcome will be corporate and organic in nature. Number one, a core definer of a reformed prophetic church means it will have a pronounced building focus. It's all about building the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is working in our core to prepare us for utterance that will build the kingdom. Number two, a core definer will reveal the nature of God. I encourage you, if you have been prophesied over during the last few days or even historically, to review personal prophecies given to you and look for in the subtext of the prophecy the nature of God. What is God's nature in this part of the prophecy, or that part of the prophecy? Link it with your biblical understanding of the nature of God. It means that we read prophecy very differently. It takes it out of the blessing realm and fixes it firmly on the building realm. Another core definer means that prophecy is based on kingdom principles. All the way through, every statement, every promise, every declaration, does it sit firmly on a kingdom principle or not? Another prophetic core definer is simply the word being more corporate in context. And an understanding of a personal word given to you, while it may mean something to you personally, it has ramifications for the entire body. Yeah. As we process the word, another question in our mind and heart should be, what does this mean for the corporate body?
Yeah, that's good.
Another core definer. The true prophetic in this reformation is leadership and governmentally oriented. In other words, there's a respect for leadership and an acknowledgement that godly leadership facilitates not only the flow of the prophetic organically, but the fulfillment of the words that are arising at a corporate level in the church. And beyond the government of the church, great prophetic utterances will come through in this time of reformation that will impact the nations of the earth. God gave me a word in Ukraine, I believe it was in 2008, about the Lord bringing down the government in Ukraine. And it happened within 2 months. It means we're releasing governmental decrees regarding our nations, regarding our politicians, regarding the moral values or immoral values that politicians are fighting for. In many ways, the prophetic reformation will include a moral rearmament in this nation, where the prophetic word decreed will find a landing place on men and women of goodwill in the political arena, in prominent positions of social life in this nation, and begin to advocate righteous principles. Not always using biblical language, but nevertheless advocating for righteous principles. The final core definer is a word given through prophetic reformation should be strategic and long-term. Look at the words given through Old Testament prophets. Many of them were highly strategic and way long-term. Look at the prophetic books in the New Testament written by Paul and the Apostle John and Revelation. Strategic writings, but way long term. And here we are living in a time where we understand the strategic nature of Paul and John's writings And at the same time, we are coming to terms with the ongoing life of those long-term prophetic words and seeing where they are going and what they are establishing in our generation. I'm tempted to say that Jesus was a Beatles fan, because two of the disciples had the same names as the Beatles. John and Paul. Maybe that's why Saul of Tarsus changed his name. He was a Beatles fan and says, I'll call myself Paul. Moving on very rapidly. Very rapidly indeed. So as we live in this fresh understanding of core definers that will indeed enlarge and enable us to be a prophetic church, it's clear to see this is a journey, it's a process, and it's a time of discovery. God loves community. God works in community. When I split the world in two and look at one side of community, community of saving grace that we call the body of Christ, God moves amongst us in community. Amen. I'm sure we all have many, many testimonies of what community has meant to us personally, as well as giving us an opportunity to contribute with our gifts and talents, etc. But the other side of that line is common grace institutions. We are part of a saving grace institution, but common grace institutions form community where God moves and works. And people tonight in Minnesota that don't know the Lord but have been part of common grace institutions for many decades, be it a social club or a political movement or a charity, whatever it may be, will be able to use a similar language as you and I can, describing the privilege it is to belong to a saving grace community and contribute into a saving grace community. So, we're called to journey together as a prophetic church, a reforming church. We're invited to go into the necessary processes, that we will come out of the processes and be a different type of prophetic church. That being so, along the way, there will be many deep discoveries, individually and corporately. The power of the prophetic church is a church being developed enough in God to govern the affairs of the state. The power of a prophetic church governed by God is that of a church that can change the course of international events. A prophetic church developed in God and releasing through the spirit of wisdom and revelation words that will create an outpouring in Syria, an outpouring in Iran, an outpouring in Iraq. As we move into a deeper prophetic reformation, we can expect God's enemies to become saved men and women and great advocates of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to co-labor with God, journey with God, process with God, and discover God along the way. I'm going to wrap this message up in a few moments and believing the Lord to give us something we can take away, something we can apply to our lives immediately. We have been part of a prophetic church for 20 years plus. We have heard the voice of God in many ways. The multifaceted of God, voice of God has reached our spirits and grown within. But fundamentally, we are transitioning out of a blessing movement into a building movement. So we're looking for the voice of God to build our lives. From this moment on, our prayer is simply this: Lord, speak. Your servant is desirous of being built according to the plans and purposes of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. So when you speak, Lord, build into my life. As I wrap this message up, we're going to look at the life and times of Paul and how the voice of God built Paul, which means the same principles that built Paul will build you and I. I love when we take the mystery of the gospel into the principles of everyday life. Paul's conversion. Paul meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road as Saul of Tarsus, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, is well chronicled in Acts 9. Chapter 9, verse 1 through 17. Go home tonight and read the entire 17 verses. Give yourself a bedroom reading treat. Give yourself a nighttime reading treat. But we're going to pull out very quickly a few principles that apply to Paul and apply to you and I. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, going on a journey with an ungodly mission, encountered the mighty risen Lord in Acts 9, verse 3 and 4. And to summarize, Saul of Tarsus saw a great light and heard the thundering voice of God. What happened at that moment when heaven visited Paul? A process of transformation was initiated, because light and sound from heaven landed in Paul's spirit. That principle remains the same for you and I. When God speaks, the light of the word and the voice of the word initiates in our lives a fresh process of transformation. It's not one size fits all. I have prophesied over a number of people since I got here early in the week. And you know, for many, the process of transformation will be at different levels. But I guarantee when you look back 1 year from now, 5 or 10 years from now, you will recognize when Stu Schultz or myself released the word, with that a process of transformation was initiated. Number two, and we read of Jesus confronting Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, verse 5 and 6. In that divine confrontation, Saul of Tarsus was delivered from a religious spirit and also delivered from profound ignorance. In many ways, that's our biggest battle. That's the barrier to revelatory advance. Sometimes the biggest barrier to revelatory advance is our knowledge of the written word of God. It can become very familiar. And we think we have the revelation because we've memorized the narrative, or at least very familiar with the narrative. I've discovered by accident this week the power of reading a new translation of the Bible. It takes us away from the familiarity of the narrative. And I have the Voice translation. in my apartment at the moment, and I am reading it every day, and it's very fresh to me every day. But looking at what happened on the road to Damascus, the voice of God delivered Saul of Tarsus from a religious spirit and profound ignorance. And then we look at previous Reformation movements. People impacted by the spirit of Reformation were walking unbeknown to them in a religious spirit that said, Jesus doesn't heal anymore, or the fivefold ministry doesn't exist anymore, or the gifts of the Spirit passed away with the last apostle who was perfect. And people believe what they believe, usually because a profound ignorance creeps into their hearts. We're living in a nation that's secularizing more year by year. The United States of America is rapidly becoming a secular nation. What's governing the secular mind of America is a religious spirit called secular humanism, taking people into profound ignorance. That's why we should never be angry when we see all these protest parades out there. That's why we know people believe what they believe, because they are flowing in a religious spirit that's taking them to a place of profound ignorance. But when God builds into our lives, he keeps the process going of delivering us from our religiosity, which the natural soul understands only too well, and our profound ignorance. We feel at this moment in time like we know Jesus, and we do. But the revelatory advance we're moving into prophetically will open up in substantial terms so many more aspects of the life of Jesus that we will wonder how we got this thus far in the first instance. Finally, number three. In Acts 9, verse 9, the Lord gave Saul of Tarsus clear identification with the process of death and resurrection. For Saul of Tarsus was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. The Lord embossed into the spirit of Saul and Tarsus the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that took place in 3 days. No wonder in Philippians 3, verse 10 and 11, Paul, as he became, wrote, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. This is all going on in the subconscious of our spirit man tonight. Psychologists have recognized in a human being the reality of what they call a subconscious mind. I don't know if I'm too much into a subconscious mind. I'm way into the human spirit as defined by the Word of God. This is going on in you and I tonight as recipients of the voice of God. As the voice of God built Paul, so the voice of God is building in our lives, initiating processes of transformation that include engaging with live events in our lives that are not altogether palatable. The voice of God confronting our religiosity and at the same time delivering us from profound ignorance, and always, always giving you and I at the core of our prophetic definers, a clear and substantial identification with the process of death and resurrection. An identification with the process of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And understanding in all of the processes of our lives, understanding in the work of deliverance that's taking place in our lives, that the outcome will reflect the crucified and risen Christ. Our faith stands and falls on Christ Jesus, crucified and risen. Without that, we're only another religion and another philosophy. But we indeed serve a risen Savior. Our lives have meaning and definition because we are birthed in to the mighty risen Lord. And at the core of our prophetic utterance as a community lies a flavor of death and resurrection. Christian commentators wax eloquent about the death of America. At one level, it is a tragedy. Christian America dying before our eyes. But when we attach that to the death and resurrection cycles of our Lord, He is allowing this great nation, this young nation, to taste the bitter fruits of sin for a season before this godly nation embraces the word of righteousness all over again. This prophetic reformation is not a work of man, but a work of the Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful for that. I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to be shaped by the fire of divine process. Individually tonight, we are in divine process. Hitler unleashed the Holocaust on the Jewish people at the end of World War II. God rebirthed the nation of Israel. It doesn't get any darker than a Holocaust. It doesn't get any brighter than a nation called Israel, alive and well on planet Earth once again. We can trust God in the fire of divine process. God works in and through the darkness and pain. If the enemy has unleashed unprecedented attack in your life this night, it never came from God. But God takes that which the enemy intended for evil and He converts it into something in His mind and heart with a prophetic declaration, "Now I mean this for good." So in the depths of darkness and pain tonight, know that God is working. Know that God is working in and through divine process. As a prophetic reformation occurring, developing, and working through, I believe our default position presently is to be a hearing people. It's much more about listening right now than even prophesying. Presently, it's not a bad thing to prophesy in the present age, but be a hearing people and add to that an understanding of the inner workings of your spirit. Listen to your spirit day by day. Get to know the level of your spirit. Get to know the emotions of your spirit. What grieves you, what makes you joyful, and pay attention to those subtle shifts that take place in your spirit. Pay attention to times when suddenly, you know, there's a great capacity to read the Word of God. Pay attention to those times where there's a prompting to call this person or to go to this conference or to study this portion of the Bible. A good quality car mechanic can listen to an engine and say, it's an oil seal that's leaking somewhere, or it's a spark plug that's faulty. We should have great expertise in listening to the inner workings of our spirit. And finally, this is my final finally. I just kept saying finally to give you false hope. But this is the final finally. A true identity is a prophetic generation, a reformed prophetic generation. A true identity is that of an Omega generation. For Jesus said in Revelation 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Jesus had the first word as the Alpha. Amen. And people ran on the earth as an Alpha generation with the Alpha word of the Lord. But we are called to be alive at the end of the age. We are running with the Omega word of the Lord. The prophetic reformation is all about running as an Omega generation, where God will have the last word to the devil, to the world system, to the church, and ultimately vindicate himself in terms of who he is, what his nature and character is like, and delete from the consciousness of the global mind false faiths. The century is the century where Islam will be exposed as a false faith. That's why it has emerged so violently on the world scene. Our God vindicates himself. And our God is working in your life and my life that we constitute an Omega generation. I encourage you to reflect on the core definers and to see where that fits one another relationally, to see and listen to the flow that's still coming forth individually, and look for these hallmarks of reformation becoming stronger and greater and having higher impact as the church takes her final position on the earth as the prophet of Jesus Christ to the nations, speaking to false gods, false gods, false teachers, false prophets, false Christs, and false churches. Goodness, this is not a religious gig we've signed up for. It's exciting. I consider it a personal privilege and honor to be conscripted into the army of the Lord and to be part of the Omega generation. God bless you. Thank you so much.